Hey, everyone, and welcome to 2024. Yes, welcome to Ludicrous Feed Live. We are back in business. First episode of the year should be good. I'm really looking forward to this one. And we've got some special guests, of course, lined up for you tonight, so it should be good. But first of all, I just want to thank our sponsors. As always, we have Carloop, Koba, and Warbox, as always, sponsoring the EV show on Ludicrous Feed. Yes, you might notice the new logo and the new background. So we'll try something new today. Why not? It is a new year after all. So, yeah. So thanks for joining us, everyone. And without further ado, let's welcome our regular guests. As always, we have Riz from Carloop and Rahul Prasad. Gentlemen, so nice to see you both as always. How are we? We'll start with you, Riz. How's things?
Yeah, going well. It's new year. So much has already happened and there's a lot more for us to discuss tonight. And good to see everyone back on and obviously yourself and Rahul as well, Tom.
Indeed. Nice to have you back, Riz. I did say new logo, but new show name. That's what I meant. So thanks, everyone. And Rahul, so nice to see you as well. And great shirt, by the way.
Welcome back, everyone. 2024, here we go. More news on the EV front to come in this year. Already kicking off with a bang with more charges around the country. Electrify Everything show coming up as well in a couple of weeks as well. Tom, I believe you're going to be on the panel. Riz, I believe you're going as well. And our special guest who's here this evening may give us a few hints of what to expect for the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, can't wait to have our special guest on very shortly. We'll get him on soon. But let's say hello to some of our regular guests as well, just to get things going. So hello, Gaffer, nice to see you there. And thank you, Sensei, nice to see you as well. I don't have tomorrow night's Powerball numbers, otherwise I wouldn't be telling you. And thanks very much for the congratulations for 6-year anniversary as well. So yeah, it's been 6 years on the channel, so thank you very much for your support, everyone. Let's say hello to Aaron Crofts as well. Thank you so much. Thank you, SWS. Thank you, Oz Screamer. And thank you, Tazzy Evie. Hello, nice to see you. Hello, Sydney Evie. Hello, Steve P. Look at all these people that we love. Jasper Perry Stewart, hello there. Hello, Tazzy Thylacine. Hello there. And Scott Hutchings, hello. And we've got people taking deliveries of their new cars, BYD Seals, Tesla Model 3 Highland. Lots to chat about tonight as well. All right. Well, let's say hello to our regular, our guest for tonight. Without further ado, that is Mr. Elliot Richards himself from Fully Charged Live. Elliot, how are you doing?
Hi, guys. I'm very good. Thanks. How are you guys?
Very well. Thanks, Elliot. Yeah, thanks for your time as well. Great to have you on. I think the audience has been been calling for your name over the last few months. So, yeah, here we are. You're finally here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to catch up in person as well in a couple of weeks now. I can't believe it's come around so quickly.
That's right. It seems like, last month we had the Fully Charged live show in Sydney, right? It was like, what, March or April last year, 2023? And it's come back around again.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Speaking of Fully Charged Life, before we get Elliot's take on what to expect this year, I just wanted to quickly say that we have a giveaway tonight. So if you want to be in the running for some double passes to Everything Electric, let me get that name right, Everything Electric, that's what it's called this year in Sydney. We've got 3 double passes tonight to give away and then 3 next week as well. So if you want to be in the running to win those tickets, make sure you put the hashtag Everything Electric in your comments tonight. Everyone is allowed 1 entry. Doesn't matter how many times you tag it, that's fine. You only get 1 entry tonight. So we will draw those 3 entries tonight at the end of the show. So, yeah, get those hashtags going tonight. All right. So, Elliot, I guess, what can we expect at Everything Electric this year? Is it going to be bigger and better than last year?
Oh, yes. So I think, last year was very much kind of testing the waters, see what the reception was like, see which companies would come along. This year, everyone's suddenly woken up and said, oh, we want to be there as well. So it's going to be twice as big. There's a lot more car companies going there and a lot more other stuff companies as well. So, it's called the Everything Electric Show. So it's not just cars. It's, home energy, solar, everything, everything electric, right? It's all in the name. So it's going to be really, really exciting. And I think the industry's developed in Australia so quickly in just 1 year. So the conversations we were having a year ago was very much about, the government's just changed, you're at the beginning of your EV journey. Whereas now it's like, you're like teenagers, you've grown up, you're, well invested into this EV, an electrifying journey. So be super interesting to see what conversations happen in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, that's right. 1 year is a long time in this industry, as you know. Now, look, one of the criticisms, I guess, of the show last year was that there weren't enough car companies. You touched on that. Compared to last year, like, can we expect twice as many brands, three times as many brands? What's the deal?
I think it's going to be probably about three times as many brands as we had last year. So last year was only a handful, right? Mm-hmm. And they're all Chinese. This year, there's a few Chinese, but then a lot more legacy brands as well. So I can't remember exactly off the top of my head, but I think there's a couple of brands from Germany, South Korea, obviously China. So yeah, it's a lot more varied this year, and the legacy brands seem to be making a bit of a fighting comeback, shall we say, after the onslaught of Chinese EVs.
Yeah, that's right. It was they're certainly leading the way at the moment, I would say, and I'm sure you would agree as well. Living in China, of course, Elliot is in Shanghai currently. I'd be getting the emails every few days from Everything Electric, telling me what to expect. So we've got, I think, Ioniq 5 N debuts at the show next week. Peugeot is bringing the E2008 to the show, and E Partner van. I think I saw Audi in there as well in the mix. BMW. So as you said, some of the European brands are. It's time to wake up a little bit and bring their stuff out to the audience as well, which is good, because we don't really have like a motor show anymore as such in Australia. So this is kind of like the de facto motor show in Australia, and it's certainly led by example. We've got the Melbourne EV show as well, and I think some more in the mix as well, Riz, I think, coming up this year too, so it should be good.
Lots of EV activity, and I think, you know, Fully Charged started quite a lot of that last year. And as you've said, Elliot, it's really cool. We've got three times as many brands. We've got so much more engagement. We've had nearly 90,000 electric cars sold last year. So, you know, that's nearly tripling what we did in 2022. So things are looking up, and it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, it should be good. So let's take some comments from the audience. So Hal's just reminding us that please hashtag Everything Electric. Make sure you spell that right as well. The computer doesn't recognize misspelled things. So Everything Electric will get you in the draw to win a double pass for the show as well. And Sydney Evie says it will be good to catch up with Elliot and Jack again and talk Honda E and all things from China that we want here in Australia. Yeah, great comment. Thank you, Ryan. Yep, Everything Electric. Make sure you hashtag that. Thank you, Tassie EV. That's great. If you bought a ticket, do it anyway. You might be able to give it to someone. Dan is coming down as well, Elliot, I believe, this time.
Yeah, that's right. Dan will be there. Jack will be there. Robert will be there. Imogen's coming as well this time. Sorry, my son's outside the room screaming. He's had too much cake. the whole team's coming down. Simone will be there. And Emily will be there on the Friday. So a lot of talks. And I saw Gaffer had a question about when are some of the talks. If you go on the Everything Electric website, it's got a full schedule of the speakers and the talks on there. So you can have a look, plan your day in advance.
Yep, great call. Yes, everything is on that website, including the program, including which speakers are on which panels. So check that out. Three full days of activity for sure. Robin Jules, we love you, Elliot. I 100% agree with that. Thank you, Robin Jules. And Sydney Evie says, I want to see more electrified farm equipment this time. Oh, okay. Yeah. Tractors, maybe?
Don't know if there's tractors this time. I'd have to check, but I know there's a lot of interest in electric for farm equipment and utes and things. So, yeah, it's definitely on the radar. I'd have to check and get back to you.
Yeah, we want to see more utes for sure. Okay, quick question for me. Question for BYD owners like me. I would love to know how the autopilot feature is on the Seal. I rented a Model Y for a Canberra trip and love the auto drive and TACC. Is BYD's comparable at all? I've made commentary on this in my videos already. I would say no, it's not quite there yet. And Elliot agrees with me there. And I'll be doing more of a long-range test very soon. So let me give you some more information in my upcoming videos. But I don't know. I think there's scope for BYD to improve in areas like that for sure. It's all software, so we shall see what happens in the next few years, right? We've got J.S. Panga saying, good to see you, Tom, and thank you for the hashtag as well. Would love to hear more about your BYD Seal. Well, yeah, watch my videos. It's all there. I've got the performance coming in the next few weeks. Yeah, awesome. You're going to love it. That's all I can say. It's a good car. Yes, thank you, Sensei, for reminding me. So there's a special event for members only. So if you're a member, check that out. There's an event which I'm hosting after the Everything Electric show. So you want to know what that's about, you know what to do. So thank you, Sensei. Yeah, question for you, Elliot. Is any chance it will come to Brisbane and other states in the future?
I think at the moment we are sticking to Sydney for now. Obviously, you know, Robert, I think, has family up in Brisbane as well, or in up Gold Coast. So, you know, we wouldn't say no, but I think at the moment we're probably cementing our place in Sydney first before maybe considering other places. We've also got four other shows around the world, so it's a bit intense to do more than that at the moment. But yeah, definitely up for it, I think. I'd love to go to Brisbane.
Yeah, it's a great place. Very, very hot and humid this summer year, but it's a good hot and humid. Yeah, sweat it all out, which is good. Yeah, I mean, you guys do a great job, I must say. So, you know, thank you for what you do and to bring Everything Electric to the world. So, yeah, that's great. And yeah, there's your question from Gaffer. Will we see Janus electric trucks? I think they were there last time. Well, I've seen them around somewhere, so hopefully we'll see them this time. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, Elliot, let's go through some of our news articles for this week. And we'll start off with this one, actually. Let me just take that banner off so we don't block your face. There we go. So that's your review of the MG Cyberster. Give us your take on this vehicle.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I review a lot of cars and very few of them make me grin from ear to ear. But this was one of them. It really brings the excitement back to the cars, really, or EVs, because most EVs that have been released so far have been very practical, you know, SUVs, sedans. We haven't seen much in the way of sports cars, really, and especially affordable ones. You can get a Rimac, but I don't have $2 million. This is like the we don't know the price yet, but the affordable, fun EV car. And the experience of driving a convertible that's electric with no sound, so all you hear is the wind, no smell, apart from the smell of the other cars, it's a really exciting experience. And then it looks great. It's got crazy scissor doors. I mean, as an overall package, it's absolutely wonderful. And I'm glad more automakers are making fun cars like this. And it drives great. I just full of praise for the Cyberster.
Elliot, that looks awesome, right? I mean, I've got my Roadster 2.0 on order. But I think this will come way before then. So it looks cool. You've driven it. And that's the sort of cars we need to get down here. I know it's going to the UK, so they are going to be building them in right-hand drive. So, yeah, be awesome to see. But, yeah, great review. I had a look at it earlier today.
Now, I don't think it's going to be $2 million, Elliot. Do we know how much this is going to sell it for in China, its price?
Yeah, you're going to be upset when you hear the price here. It's about around £25,000, or so that's what's double for Australian dollars, about $50,000.
Wow.
Yeah. I think when it comes to the UK, it will go almost double. So you're talking about £45,000, £50,000, or close to $100,000. That's realistic. But who knows? You know, price wars are ongoing. They're discounting a lot of cars here. So, you know, there could be some discounts to be found.
Yeah,
and MG's brand has been selling well in Australia. Overtook BYD, I think, at the end of the quarter. Riz, correct me if I'm wrong, but MG was second to Tesla in number of sales. So they've definitely got a good brand. And if the Cyberster comes to Australia, there would definitely be interest in that car.
Would you guys be interested in this?
I would, as a sports car person. But I guess it just depends, you know, like whether we, because there's nothing else like this at the moment, right? There's no convertibles in this space. And if MG are first to the sort of market, then, you know, this, we're talking like BMW Z4, that sort of territory. And we barely sell any of the Z4s in the country anymore, and they're ICE anyway. So yeah, there's definitely people out there. I'll be keen to MG, if you're listening. You know, Tom and I, as soon as one lands, we need to get one, and we'll take it around one of the Sydney or Melbourne race tracks to see what it's like. But really keen to see it in person.
Look, I think Riz and I will even, you know, get rid of our Spectre we have on order and go for the Cyberster instead. I'm just saying, Riz, I'm sure you'd be okay with that.
Well, that's exactly right. I'll settle for a BMW i7 instead. But yeah, just so I can drive one of these around. It looks awesome.
Yeah. Well, we know MG in Australia have a proven track record of bringing things first to market. You know, we've got, you know, they bought the MG4, you know, cheapest car at the time. ZS EV is one of the earliest EVs out there. So who knows? I think, you know, they're quite aggressive with their marketing here. I see a lot of Porsche Taycans actually in Sydney now. They are quite a good looking vehicle. So I would love to see more kind of roadster type cars like this around town. It'd be fantastic.
And I think this is the perfect car for Australia. You know, you've got the weather for it and, you know, nice country roads and it's completely a poser's car. Like, I think it would fit very well in, you know, downtown CBD Sydney, or it could fit, you know, in the outback, you know, driving along with dust clouds behind you. I think, yeah, it's awesome.
For the gram, right? Anything for the gram.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Now, Ozcream is getting our hopes up here. I think we are getting that in Australia at the end of the year. All right. We'll see. Cool. Yeah, look, we've got, you know, as Elliot said, we're becoming teenagers here in Australia. We're getting more choices. The world is opening up. We're finding our legs. We're getting stronger. Pantheist is saying, my head is saying BYD Seal. My heart is saying Model Y. Elliot, dare I ask you? You've driven Seal. Both, I think. Seal?
Ooh, 100%. Okay. I mean, it depends what you're after. I think if you want practicality and space, get the Model Y. If you want a bit more excitement and driving feel and not too worried about self-driving, get the Seal.
Mm. Yep, Steve P saying, I was planning on getting Model 3 till Tom started to review his Seal. I apologize to Tesla. Just saying what I feel. But yeah, look, they're both great cars. You know, as Elliot said, if you need the space, go the Model Y, I guess. If you want proven tech, if you want autopilot, Model 3 is the way to go. Seal is quite an exciting drive as well. So yeah, lots of options near, which is great. I think, Elliot, have you been back to Sydney or Australia since you came last year?
No, that was, no, I haven't at all.
Okay. I think you'll be surprised. There'll be a lot more EVs on the road now compared to last year.
So. That's amazing. I just can't believe how quickly it's changed for you guys, like compared to what, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Oh, huge. Newsflash, Elliot will be driving one of these into the main hall at the Everything Electric show. Can we confirm or deny that, please?
My lips are sealed.
Oh, yes.
So just speaking about these cars, Elliot, like, you know, I saw the review you did on the BYD Seagull. Like, you know, there's car people that want those little cars to come to Australia, and everybody else says it won't qualify for strict Australian design rules. Mm. But, you know, something like that, or even, I know BYD is in the process of releasing sort of a slightly jacked up version of a Dolphin turned into a bit of a SUV. Not sure what it's called, but yeah, you know, those sort of vehicles. Do you feel that BYD is building these cars for the global market now, or is it still very China-centric?
No, so all of the cars that they're building now are with an eye to the global market. So basically everything after the Atto 3 has the global market in mind. So, you know, although the Seagull, for example, it may not go to some European markets, I think it will, mostly Euro NCAP tested with 5 stars. You know, they'll start going to, you know, Southeast Asia, Thailand, Malaysia, and they'll be built there as well. They've got a factory in Thailand, they'll be built, and then they'll be sent down to places like Australia. It's inevitable because there is no one else doing it at the moment. I mean, Renault are going to bring out the 5, and they've got the Zoe, or had the Zoe, but no one is really doing really good quality with the latest tech. And if it's from BYD, then, and you know, they've got the manpower, they've got the knowledge to be able to make it safe and make pass those safety regulations. So I don't think it'll be too much of a problem.
Mm. All right, sticking with BYD, I've got some pictures of the first BYD ship. Sorry, let me just change this one. There we go. Yeah, so BYD first cargo ship, capacity to transport 7,000 vehicles, set sail. That was from a few days ago, a couple of weeks ago now. So yeah, that's pretty amazing. Starting to do that vertical integration thing that Tesla's trying to do. So it's great.
And this is they own this ship. BYD owns this ship. Is that correct?
Yep. I believe so. Yep. Mm.
And it's cool the first name too. Of 7.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Elliot, are you surprised they're number one selling, you know, BEVs? Or no, it's sooner or later than you thought?
I think it's come a lot quicker than we all expected. I remember filming the video in the factory we did what was that, just on, over 3 years ago. And I think we realized they were going to become big, but not that big and that quickly. You know, they have, at the time, they had good products, but not great products. But then all of a sudden, they bought out the Yuan or the Atto 3. And then all of a sudden, they started picking up a lot more momentum. So instead of 100,000 cars every, you know, every few months, it was every month. And then it was every 2 weeks. And then it's almost every week, 100,000 cars. So I think it's taken everyone by surprise, especially the legacy automakers.
Yes. Look, being a BYD owner now, like hand to heart, when I first saw the Atto 3, I was impressed, but not super impressed. I was, you know, it wasn't the perfect car. It was great, like great value. But with the Seal, as you said, Elliot, it's like next level. It's like, whoa, okay, this is a lot better. Not perfect, but a lot better. And yeah. It won't take long. Yeah.
And I think with the Seal, they've kind of spent a lot more time on the design. They spent a lot more time on the feel, the chassis, the driving experience. You know, the UI, the UX of the screen could still do with improvement. But you can see they're learning and changing very, very quickly. And I think what comes out from them next, overseas, what will that be? Maybe the Seal U. The SUV. I don't think that's particularly special. It's based on an old model here. I think it will be
07 Sea Lion.
Yeah, it could be the Sea Lion. But then they're starting to do their Yang Wang, which is the ridiculous million RMB SUV. But that's a hybrid. And then the U8, I think, is the supercar, $145,000, ridiculous speeds and stuff. So they're entering these spaces extremely quickly. And the learnings from, you know, making a hypercar, you know, or making really good quality materials and start filtering it down to their everyday models. So that's what's exciting.
And you can start to see the influence of Wolfgang Eggers, I think I pronounced his name right, his designs coming through in the Seal and beyond compared to the Atto 3, that European kind of influence.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that, I don't know where the Atto 3 kind of design came from, you know, with those guitar strings. It was still a bit, it felt quite, you know, different. It felt quite Chinese, I suppose.
Yes.
Whereas the Seal feels very European. And so long may that continue. And you know, it's the globalization of their products, basically.
Correct. All right, cool. Let's move on with today's news. But I want to take some comments to start with. So Sydney EV suggesting we do a lap of Mount Panorama in Bathurst with a Cyberster. Yeah, I'm up for that. And I'll call myself MG Tom for that opportunity. No problem. Yeah, I'm up for sale. No, just kidding. yeah, perfect car for Bondi Beach. Yeah, absolutely. Barangaroo, lots of places for that car. And Cyber EV says, just came back from China and checked out Hi-Fi Y, X, and Z. Beautiful car, perfect for your collection, Riz. Yeah. Cool, yes. And yes, no stink bugs on the BYD ship. Let's hope not. Let's not have any more of that. question, any word on more Tesla service centers and showrooms breaking ground throughout the country? Yeah, more regional areas would be good. Yep, I agree. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that, so that's fine. Tesla, BYD will be the kings of the future automotive world. Yep, I think that's becoming quite evident for sure. And Charles is saying, hey, Charles, nice to see you. Charles Gregory, Hobart site is in progress. New, bigger showrooms like in Melbourne and Perth also in progress as well. Fantastic. Excellent. All right, and just a quick reminder for everyone to make sure you hashtag everything electric for passes to give away tonight. Double passes to the show next weekend. Next weekend already? Wow, yeah, it is next weekend. Not this weekend, next weekend. It's coming fast. Get those entries in. Everyone gets one entry. Okay, let's take another question. Okay, so Tom, how did you go with the front air dam scraping the Seal on steep gradient exits? Yes, it does scrape, but it's only plastic. And I've checked mine after a month. Yes, there is some scraping, but the hull is 100%. So no damage to the battery or the floor of the BYD. So you'll be fine. Cool. All right. Robin Jules, we were the first people on the street to have an electric car. Fantastic. Now two houses up has a Seal. Hey, you're an influencer, Robin Jules, in your street. Well done. Good stuff. Ads for saying, already bought my ticket to see Crichton. Yes. Good to see Robin again, for sure. Okay, cool. Well, let's share some more news with the world, which is this one here. So Model Y, officially the best-selling car overall in 2023, 1.23 million units sold. Now, this is the best-selling car overall, petrol, electric, whatever. First time in EV, took the number one spot in global sales. That's crazy. Riz, what's going on? This is unbelievable.
Look, Elon said it a couple of years ago, you know, that this was going to happen, and it did. And it's we had the Q4 earnings call, and that was one of the things he mentioned, as predicted. Model Y is now the best-selling car in the world. And I don't think things are going to slow down. Also, although this year is going to be slightly quieter or not have the same level of growth as 2023 because of economic conditions globally, I still think that this 2024 onwards, until the new Tesla Model 2 comes along, this will remain the world's best-selling car for the next 2 or 3 years.
Mm. Yep. Yeah, good. Now, sorry, Raul, go on.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think I read somewhere in one of Sawyer's posts where he compared the electric car to not just being a fad now, but having become something more mainstream. And we can see that on our streets. What Robin Jules just said, you know, a couple of years ago, they were the only people with a car which was electric on their streets. And I identify with that sentiment very, very strongly. In the last year, in the last 6 months, there's been 3 EV cars just on my street alone, and then a couple more on the next street, a couple more on the next street. So you can see that that has now become mainstream. If this is the first year that an electric car has gone global, we can only hope by the end of 24, how many units they're going to sell, whether it's Tesla or whether it's another brand. But EV sales will globally just start dominating top 10, top 20. Global sales.
Yeah, well said. I was just going to say to Elliot that, yeah, when he arrives in Sydney from the airport to Homebush Bay, you'll just see that you can't look anywhere without seeing a Tesla, Tesla Model 3, Model Y, and lots of Atto 3s around as well. So, yeah, you'll be amazed at what change has taken place in a year.
So sure. Cool.
And that's reflected in Riz's data. Here we go, New South Wales Tesla uptake growth in 2023. Look at that chart. Huge numbers.
Yeah, so we've gone from 13,000 vehicles at the end of 2022 to 28,000. So, you know, more than double the Tesla fleet in the state. So when Elliot does land, he will see lots of them. I think the last time I landed in Sydney, walked out, first thing you see is a BYD electric bus drive past, and then you get in, I book an Uber, and an Atto 3 comes up. And that was on the way to the SEAL launch. So it's things are changing. So it's not only Tesla, but the other EV brands are doing quite well as well. And yeah, Tesla seems to be, I think in Australia, would have been the third best selling car of any type if it hadn't been because of that ship that got turned around with stink bugs back to Shanghai. Yep. Because there were a couple of thousand of them on there. And it would have been the best passenger car of the year in 2023. The only two that would top that would be the Toyota Hilux and the Ford Ranger, the utility vehicles. But, you know, as a passenger car, it would have been the best-selling car. But I think it came in at number 3 after the Toyota RAV4 and MG ZS. And they were only out by about 1,000 sales. So anyway, this year is going to be even bigger for Tesla, BYD, and some of the EV-only brands. And we have a couple of new brands launching as well. Not sure if it's been well-publicized, but Zeekr will be launching in Australia. They're already hiring some senior sales and other executives in the country. So that'll be quite exciting. Elliot, what do you think about, you know, Zeekr, Polestar, Geely? How are they sort of competing against each other in China, and is there an appetite for them to really go global?
So this is quite a good question. So I think Geely's been on a massive buying spree, right? So they bought out Volvo, London Electric Taxi Company, Smart, you know, everyone. They've got shares in Aston Martin. I actually think they're cannibalizing themselves quite a lot at the moment, especially overseas. So, you know, Volvos are based on the same platform as Polestar, which are based on the same platform as Volvo. So what do you go for? Is it the brand that you like, And I think it's getting quite confusing. So I think there will probably be some consolidation within Geely itself. I think Polestar, they've got a lot of new models coming out, but let's see the reception overseas. Polestar in China is an absolute sales disaster. They do not sell. So they're hoping with their new model, they can actually start shifting some units. So I think last year they sold 1,500 cars. That's it. And that's an
entry where... In China?
Yeah, in China.
They sold more in Australia.
Yeah.
Huh?
They sold more in Australia. They sold nearly 2,000 Polestar 2s.
Exactly. And that's in a year. And, you know, someone like XPeng or NIO sells 10,000 a month.
Wow.
Let's not talk about BYD, but that's kind of how badly they were doing, 100 cars a month or so. I think Zeekr is kind of where a lot of their effort is going into. It's their new brand. It's fully electric. It's not linked to Volvo. It's not linked to anyone else. And I think they probably produce the most exciting driving cars with good technology, good user experience, great battery technology, great design. You know, it's the ex Stefan Seelaf, it's the ex Bentley designer, has joined them. And everything they've produced so far has been very, very good, very strong product. And I think they will make serious headwaves when they go global, and especially against Tesla. They don't compete with BYD. BYD's at a different price point, so they'll compete with the Teslas and the Polestars. So it's going to be very interesting.
One of my viewers sent us a walk around of a Zeekr from China, and it looks very BMW-esque. You know, it's quite a nice finish to it. I think you're right, they're aiming for that higher sort of higher market rather than sort of the BYD price point. You're right.
Yeah, and I think when you get a chance to sit in one, you'll suddenly realize that, oh, this is actually a step above the BYD. It's very competitive to the Tesla. It feels, like you say, quite German. And that's the kind of brand that the German automakers are worried about. It's the Zeekrs and the Nios, who have the tech, have the knowledge, have the batteries. And they'll easily steal customers away from their own brands.
Back to the point about Polestar and Volvo. I personally am finding it a bit confusing too, because you know you got Polestar being electric, and then Volvo is now becoming all electric very soon in Australia. So you've got two very similar brands, pretty much from the same parent company. So it's got to come to a head very soon, I'm sure. And the bottom line will speak for itself, I'm sure as well.
Yeah.
Comment from Michael: Australians desperate for an EV at the same price point of the cheap SUV like the Havel Jolson, around 28,000 to 32,000 Aussie, or a little bit cheaper. I mean, that's quite cheap. That's, nothing's that cheap at the moment in Australia. So we'll see. We'll see what comes from China. And Ads4 makes a good point. Then in 2025, the secondhand market for EVs will get going. All the innovator leases will start running out, and then they'll be everywhere. Riz, comment on resale value?
Already coming down. There is a couple of 2019, 2020 Teslas up for sale for under $40,000. People now have a choice. Do they buy a new mid-spec MG4 or do they buy a used Tesla? That conversation wasn't happening a year ago. So I think that the secondhand market is starting to emerge. You know, some of the earlier MG ZSs are going for like, you know, mid-20,000s. I know they don't have a lot of range and all the rest of it, but in my opinion, it's a better purchase than getting an imported Nissan Leaf from a couple of years ago, given these cars were delivered here and they will be supported by the brand for the duration of the warranty. So it's still very early days, you know, compared to what things are like in China, Elliot, where, you know, even new vehicles are sort of entering that $15,000 to $20,000 mark. But yeah, we'll get there one day as these dolphins and others start to get into that used market in the coming years. It will get more and more affordable.
Yeah, I think my experience here in China, I looked at the secondhand market a couple of months ago, put a post on LinkedIn. I just looked at some of the prices of cars and where they are. So I don't know if you guys get the MG, is it 5, the estate, the wagon?
No, we don't get that. But in the UK, they're quite popular.
Yeah. So they made so many of those. And now you can buy a 2021 with about 30,000 kilometers on the clock for about £3,000 or about $6,000.
Oh.
Wow.
And the secondhand market here now is pretty wild. So I actually sold my XPeng after 4 years. I got half its value back. So I bought it for, let's say, $30,000. I got about $15,000 back. And the secondhand market is now, you know, ripe. And it's, you know, anything you want, any size car, you know, you can get, you can pick it up for just a few thousand dollars. And that's what's really exciting, because then it's accessible to everyone. Everyone get a cheap EV for a runabout in the city or whatever they do. So that's probably what I'm most excited about.
I'll take some comments.
Elliot makes because the secondhand car market in China and the UK and the US as well is an indicator for us as to what may happen here in the next year or so. Yeah, we don't have brand new cars like Haval does and that $28,000-$32,000 mark, but knowing that EVs are going to be more expensive than, say, your traditional ICE car, we do have cars, the GWM Aura, the MG ZS, and the BYD at that $38,000-$39,000 mark. And I think in the UK, new car sales of EV cars have slowed down, primarily because there is a growing secondhand EV market, which is now starting to achieve price parity with ICE cars. So I think in another couple of years, once we've actually had a lot more new EV cars on the market, we will see that price parity start coming into that secondhand EV car market.
Mm. A good point to Rahul, the Aura has had a price cut as well this last month. So that's officially now the cheapest car or cheapest EV in Australia, I believe. Question for us, gents, from Ray. Thank you for the $5. Do you think Tesla will kill base Model S and X due to the updated specs of Model 3, Model Y performance models? Thoughts?
I think at this stage they're going to continue with them until there is an alternative. I think in the Q4 earnings call, Elon said that Fremont Factory in San Francisco is the most productive car plant anywhere in North America. And I think they want to keep that status up until they can get the production of Model 2 right in Austin, Texas, and then in Mexico. But yeah, until then, there is a market for that, you know, sort of semi-luxury larger sedans and SUVs. If they were delivering them here to Australia, then, you know, they would sell a few here as well. But obviously, Elliot, they started sending the Model S and X to China. But this time around, it's quite different because the Chinese automakers have their own equivalent large SUVs and large sedans. What do you think has sort of happened there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tesla was very popular at the beginning when they first, the S and X were popular when they first came out, but you know, the Chinese automakers have caught up so much now. They're seen as very old tech, very old, you know, kind of user experience. You know, why would I get one which then costs a lot because I get stung with 100% import tax when I can get a locally made, you know, hi-fi or, you know, even a Lotus, right, which has the latest tech for half the price. And I think, you know, Elon Musk or Tesla has got a very big challenge ahead of him, especially in China, because there's been so much innovation here so quickly. You know, even things like the Model Y are almost starting to seem like old hat here. And the, you know, the S and X, you know, forget about those. You know, the process of building a car here in China. So I heard one company, the CEO said to them, right, we need a sedan 8 months on the road. And they did everything and got it in production in 8 months. You know, it just doesn't happen anywhere else like that. And that scale of innovation is something that at the moment Tesla can't compete with. So they need to hurry up with this Model 2, you know, work on the refresh of the S and the X if they are going to. Kind of forget about the Cybertruck because I think that's the distraction.
Well, you've got one. You've got a couple running around China now.
I've got one.
Yeah, not legally. They're doing the tour for their customers. And obviously there's huge queues, but they think it's unlikely it'll ever be registered here.
Yeah, there it is. They're doing the tour in China. what do you think of it?
Halo car.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What do I think of the Cybertruck?
Yeah. When you saw it, what do you think up close?
It's striking, but it's just a gimmick. It's just, I just think it's stupid. It's just, what do you guys think? I feel like a bit by myself sometimes, but what do you guys think?
I'll go first, Elliot. I think it's got a market in Australia only because we do have, you know, the great outdoors. We do take weekend trips to regional rural areas. We do have the Nullarbor in between South Australia and WA. And there's nothing in that electric EV market in that outdoorsy sort of ute truck pickup truck sort of denomination that can do those kind of roads at this stage. Including farms, including trades, including urban families wanting a 5 to 7 seater car with loads of room if they go on the weekends. Yeah, I've got the Model Y. I do take the kids away, do take the family away, but the space is a little bit tight when you try and pack in luggage for, say, 5 people when you're going away on weekends. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I'll chime in. I mean, I'm a bit me, myself, Irene with this car because some days I love it, other days I don't. I agree, Elliot. It looks, some days I'm thinking, this is stupid. Who's going to buy this? And other days I'm thinking, yeah, I wouldn't mind a stainless steel thing that no one can damage in the shopping centre. But yeah, I just think it'll be too big for my local area. I think most of Sydney as well. Like, we've got a couple of F-150s in our neighborhood and they're huge. They just take up half the street almost. So I think if I was running a business, I'd probably maybe get one, but not for my personal commute. Riz?
Good question, Elliot. I think one thing is, to me, this is sort of a big FU to the Ram truck or F-150 owner. As such, that electric trucks can do cool things, but then at the same time, it's one, what's underneath this truck that's very important for pretty much the rest of the automotive industry. The 48 volt architecture, what they've done under there, reducing the materials needed, that engineering that underpins this vehicle is probably more significant than the buzz it creates on the outside. And if that translates into the Model 2, which would make it more cheaper and affordable because it's using less wiring, it has far more advanced communication that sits underneath the skin of that steel body truck, the 48-volt architecture, then I think that's going to be really, really important for the future of automotive and affordable EVs.
Yeah, look, I think we do need utes. The country obviously loves utes, which need more choice. And I think, Elliot, the answer is China. It's going to come from China eventually, the more affordable ones anyway.
Yeah, the question is when and from who, right?
Yeah, that's right. Let's take a quick break and just want to thank our sponsors at this, more than halfway point, but we are going strong. So thank you, Carloop. Thank you, Cobra. Thank you, Warbox, for supporting our show. I just also want to thank all our new members too. I'm just missing you guys. So Damien Elias, thank you very much, Damien, for joining the channel. Thank you, Robin Jules. Thank you, Ray. And thank you very much for supporting the channel. Thank you. All right, let's move on with some more stories. So let's move on with this one. And talked about Porsche a bit earlier. So this is the new Porsche Macan, of course, their first ever all-electric SUV. Starting price $80,000, $107,000 for turbo, whatever that means. 613 kilometers WLTP. That's not a bad range, really. So 80,000 gents in Australia would be what? Maybe if we're lucky, 150K for this?
Pricing has been announced.
Yeah? Oh, what was it?
Yeah, so it's in Victoria, it's 150,000 drive away for the base model. And this is without any options, right? So as soon as you want to put a special type of, I don't know, something on the windscreen, all of a sudden it's another 200,000 on top of that. And then the turbo is about 200,000 drive away. The base price is 137,000 for the Macan EV4. And then Macan EV Turbo is 182,000 in Australia with no options.
Yeah, okay. I think it'll sell well, honestly, just in certain parts of Sydney that I know, they will roll off the shelves. a lot of Porsches in some areas, and I think they'll sell. Do we like this car, gents? Do we like the interior?
I love it. I think it's a really good response to what's coming out of China. I think they're really taking it quite seriously, much more seriously than maybe BMW or Audi. So I think this is a solid riposte to those Chinese EVs. And I think it looks great. It's going to sell very well. Porsche is a good brand. It's not their first one. So, yeah, good luck to them.
Yeah, agree with Elliot. I've seen the Taycan in person, gorgeous interior. And I think that's one thing that Porsche do really well. The interiors, including the exteriors, both just look amazing. People who've already got a Porsche, who've obviously got the money to be able to afford something like this, will definitely look at buying an EV from the same brand that they've trusted and had for a while. You know, I'm talking South Yarra, Manly, Bondi, some North of these
Shore. Places. Yep. Definitely. In fact, Ads Force saying every private school mum in Sydney will be ordering one. They probably already have, no matter the price. Yeah, 100%. I'll be seeing these a lot, I'm sure. But yeah, the interior looks great. It looks very very Taycan-ish with the two screens there. And yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to sitting in one. If they let me test drive one, maybe you should brush my old suit out just to make myself look more important.
Look, when I drove the Taycan in 2022, it had similar sort of features. So that screen you see in front of the passenger's seat, which a lot of the Chinese cars have now that are probably a third of the price of what this is. You know, there were quite a few issues with its software. The screens were showing different maps, you know, which is strange. But I think this one, they've improved the whole user experience a lot, like Polestar or in Volvo, they've got the Google inbuilt. That's quite good. But everything you see there is pretty much an option, like the passenger screens, a couple of $1,000s and a whole lot of other things. So by the time you add the options up, it's going to be very expensive, but it will sell very well because Porsche, there's this theory that Porsche Cayenne saved Porsche because people were not buying the 911s and the Caymans in sort of the early 2000s. And the Macan has then further accelerated that to really be popular. So an ICE version of a Macan starts at about $100,000 drive away, which is relatively affordable for a Porsche. But this starting at about $150,000 drive away, I think it will sell really well. Underpinnings are Chinese. So CATL has supplied prismatic cells, 100 kilowatt hour battery pack. And then the motors are designed by Bosch. So, you know, catalog engineering. But hopefully Porsche will make lots of money by selling those options.
Mm. Yeah, they do make very, very nice cars, I must say. And Richard's just got a suggestion for me. You just need to drive the Spectre down to the Porsche dealership. Why didn't I think of that? I'll just borrow it for the weekend. Thanks, Riz. Yep, no problem. That's right. Yep, i7 has the best interior. Okay, cool.
Which the Rolls-Royce Spectre is based on the BMW i7.
Mm-hmm.
So for those lucky viewers and listeners of the show, we will have an i7 to showcase in the coming weeks.
Mm, very good. And I'm still waiting for Rolls-Royce to get back to me. They promised me a Spectre to review in the new year. It's already the new year. TikTok, almost February.
Did you tell them we had Elliot on? He's a high net worth individual that we have coming in. He's flying in from Shanghai.
Elliot might have missed this, but I was told, they're looking for high net worth individuals in Australia to market to, which I clearly am not. Elliot, I think you might be closer.
Well, I don't know. It depends. I've got to take my private jet over to, you know, Sydney in a few weeks. Maybe they can pick me up in that, you know.
Oh, I'll pick you up. Don't worry. question for you from Hal. BYD is on the hunt for large lithium mines to try and lock up the market. So it doesn't look like sodium will pose a threat anytime soon. What is your take on sodium after visiting CATL?
Sodium, yeah, the big hope. I'm still yet to see the Seagull with the sodium battery. I'm still yet to see the JAC, can't remember its name. That's meant to be the first car with sodium battery. I've been asking them every week, can I have the sodium battery car? They still haven't got it. Yeah, at the moment, no, absolutely doesn't pose any threat because we haven't seen the battery. It hasn't been in any commercial vehicles. You know, it feels like the graphite story again. You know, or graphene. We're 2 years away from, you know, a gram of battery powering a car for 100,000 miles. I will believe it when I see it, but at the moment, no, it poses very little threat.
Okay, you heard it here first. Let's move on with some more stories. So this is, put this up here. So this is the Honda Prologue delivery starting in March. Expecting to start at 48,000 US, so maybe 70,000 Aussie. Built on GM Ultium EV architecture, 85 kilowatt hour battery, 155 kilowatt charging. A little bit slow, but yeah. Thoughts on this, gents?
It has the highest resolution we've ever put inside a Honda. And it has Google built in. EV charging features as well.
Only one screen, though. For example, I like the portion.
Yeah, I feel some of these legacy makers are a little bit late to the party, I think, especially in the US now, you know, with the new Highland Model 3, with most likely a performance version of the Model 3 as well coming up as well, all the price cuts and the $7,500 EV rebate that they're offering to American-made cars, which I think at this stage is the Model 3 that qualifies and the Model Y. Yeah, I think some of the legacy makers like Honda are just too late to the party. They'll sell a few, they'll sell enough, but not enough to make major inroads in that EV market. I think BYD, Tesla have got a strong foothold now.
Well, Elliot, please.
Honda had a pretty strong start with the Honda E, right? Apart from its price and its range. You know, it's visually very interesting and striking, but they've gone straight back to the let's make an SUV playbook like everyone else. And there's nothing distinctive about this. There's nothing Honda about this. You know, what is a Honda EV going to be in the future? Honda's got a great, you know, history of cars, especially small ones. Well, why not go in that area? It's just a generic SUV, unfortunately.
More K cars, eh, Riz?
Well, that's what we need. We need more K cars. And an interesting point there, Elliot, about Honda. You know, in Europe now, they have the E-NY1. I have no idea what's with these Japanese brands and these really random car models for EVs. Like they don't want to sell these cars for whatever reason, because they'll name them accordingly. BZ4X, BZ3, so E-NY1. That is okay, but it's priced far too high than, let's say, a popular Model Y or a BYD Yuan Plus or Atto 3. And once again, just a very standard SUV. This car is basically GM all over, not really made to sell many of them. If Honda were serious, they'd go back to the drawing board. I heard again they were thinking about hydrogen this week or last week in the US. So, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, we need someone serious from Japan to take this to the next level, and I don't think it will be Honda or Toyota or Mazda at this stage.
Yeah. I was at the Japanese Auto Show, three or four months ago, and they were all showing off their cars. I mean, Mitsubishi is dead. Toyota one or two EVs, Subaru one EV, you know, just very, very basic EVs. They're all talking about hydrogen, which is quite sad to see. The only company which had interesting electric cars was Daihatsu. Got lots and lots of small vans, K cars, all electrified. Daihatsu Copen, I don't know if you guys had that in Australia.
My dream tiny car.
Yeah, it's so good. And they had an electric version of that. I thought, these guys get it, but no one else does there. And it's quite sad to see, because they've got their eyes closed, their ears closed, they're not interested.
Having just come back from Japan on holiday, I didn't see many EVs on the road, I got to say. I saw maybe one or two Teslas. It's quite sad, really. A lot of hybrids, obviously. Lots of Toyota hybrids and Lexus hybrids, but not many EVs. So, yeah, they've got a way to catch up for sure. Lexus, they didn't get back to me getting a press car to review. So, very sad. I've sat in an Uber, in an RZ450E Uber. It's not bad. Not a bad car. But, no, I haven't driven one yet. Thank you, Robert, saying looking forward to seeing us all at the electric Everything Electric show and the Cobra event driving from Melbourne. So I might see some of you at the superchargers. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a good turnout. Some of these superchargers en route from Sydney to from Melbourne to Sydney, for sure. Cool. All right, well, let's keep moving on. Now, segue to this one. Lotus, just going to put this one up, actually. This is the Lotus EV. They announced this, I think, recently. Production of its EMEA EV sedan, starting at 94,000 US. 0 to 60 in 2.78, 102 kilowatt hour battery pack. They're getting bigger. This is more of a sedan, which is good to see. Not another SUV. Oh, I'm so sorry. That was very loud. Okay, there we go. What do we think of this one?
I've seen one of these. We were filming in Hangzhou, Geely's headquarters, and we were filming a Galaxy E8. And then what turns up in the car park is one of these, and they're filming a TV commercial with it. I have to say, this is a gorgeous looking car in the flesh. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, wow, okay, an electric Lotus like this makes so much sense. It's, you know, hardcore. It looks amazing. It's got amazing presence and speed. All the stuff you don't really need on the road, but it doesn't really come across very well in these pictures, but it's seriously very good looking, much more so than the Electra SUV. And I hope that this one actually sells really well. So the bottom price of this in China is about £60,000, so about £120,000 Aussie dollars. So if it is at that price, that's quite attractive.
Yeah. Yeah, I quite like the look of them as well. Yeah, very sort of basic minimalist interior. But a few buttons there to appease those who want it. Very nice. And a little screen there too. A little display there.
So I sat in one at Lotus in Melbourne. This, not the EMEA, but the Electra that they had going around. It was a left-hand drive model that they just happened to have in the showroom to show before it was put on a plane back to China. And it's very similar interior, looks gorgeous. It's expensive. It's so the EMEA will is you can register your interest for one in Australia at the moment. So I did. So let's see what happens. But it should be coming before the end of, I think, this year or early 2025.
Yeah, nice. Another one to add to the press car list. There is.
That's it. Good
to test that one out.
Or just get one. If I sell my Spectre, I'll have no issues getting two of these.
I was going to say, yeah, 10 of these maybe. Yeah,
five. Gorgeous car in that canary yellow. And I think, you know, we're just looking at, say, these sports cars at that price range. When you've got, say, a Porsche Taycan, an MG Cybester, or the Lotus, having those different price points rather than just, hey, it's going to cost you this amount of dollars, which is unaffordable. You know, we're obviously talking sports cars, performance cars in that price range. These are some unreal options coming out at really affordable performance car pricing.
Mm. All right, let's keep going. And GM is now cancelling Ultra Cruise, automaker's next gen semi-autonomous driver assistance system, refocusing on the less capable Super Cruise.
Okay. GM have got their head in the sand, and I think what's happening is there's an automotive market or island happening in the US where it's GM and Ford who make maybe one EV, but they just keep selling ICE trucks because that's what sells and they don't really care. And, you know, if you want to buy a small EV in the US, what do you buy? There isn't anything really. And this is just another case of them burying their head in the sand and saying, I think they just lost the plot. But if you look at GM in China, they've got all of the cool cars, the Mini EV, you know, they've got really good collaborations with these other companies. So they need to start taking things out of the Chinese playbook, but I guess it's a bit political now.
Just a bit.
but isn't this sort of history repeating itself for the US? So in the 70s, when they had these big trucks and big cars that they were driving around, and the oil crisis occurred, and it paved the way for Japanese to bring more smaller, more efficient cars into the market. And then the Japanese came and dominated till now. And the two big out of Detroit and, you know, GM and Ford, they're trying to do the same thing. They're not doing much in the EV space. They're leaving the door open for the Chinese to come in, although that's what the, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act is there for, to not allow for that to happen. BYD will build a factory in Mexico like Tesla's doing. The European brands already have factories in sort of Mexico and South America as well. So they will find a way of making all of this stuff happen. It's just a matter of the GM and Ford are basically rolling out the red carpet for it to happen.
You're so right.
Yep. Okay, let's push on. And just quick note from Bridie, a good friend, good car company, bringing the Nissan Sakura here, 34,000, secondhand. Though I do have concerns about the CHAdeMO plugging, though, charging system still. We are heading towards CCS2 here in Australia. Still, for how much is it? 34,000?
Did you see any of these in Australia? Sorry, Japan when you went?
Yeah, I had a lookout for them, but no, I didn't see any on the streets, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think they're an amazing small EV. Like, they're what most of 90% of us want from a car. You know, the range is fine. It's really comfortable. Tech is okay. Mm. And if it comes at the right price, this should be a big seller. See, I even commented on this Twitter post. Yes, excellent news with an excellent car.
Awesome. Hey, Tom, you were in Japan in winter, right?
Yep, that's correct.
I've heard you see more of them in spring.
Oh, of course. What was I thinking? Yeah, no, I didn't see any cherry blossoms yet, so maybe. Yeah, I've got to go back in April, right? Now, I just saw a comment from Charles. Seen the CHAdeMO CCS2 adapter news? No, I have not heard of that. Anyone? I didn't think there was one. Could be wrong. All right, I'll have to look more into that. Thanks, Charles. There we go. Check Dala's EV repair channel for details. Okay, test them out. That'd be good because there's a lot more CCS2 plugs now for sure here in Australia. All right, cool. Let's move on. And now maybe Elliot can comment on this Osprey rapidly increasing their numbers in 2024, which is good for the UK.
Yeah, and it's about time that someone actually took the initiative and said, right, chicken or egg, which one are we going to have first? And they've said, no, we need more chargers. And they've obviously realized that there's going to be a greater need for it, even though there's a bit of a decline in sales at the moment. I think as soon as those second-hand cars start hitting the market even more, then the need for these sorts of chargers is going to happen even quicker. So I think this is fantastic news. The more they have, the more visibility they have, more people switch over to EVs.
Are you starting to see more ground-up EV charging stations in China, like purpose-built EV charging stations?
No, not really. In fact, no, because what happens here, they're building so much anyway that the requirement to, when you build a new building, is you have to have chargers installed by default. So you go to any, you know, shopping mall, anything, there's always chargers there, almost guaranteed. The only thing they don't have is those like purpose-built like gas stations. I think in the UK with something called GridServe, which has got like a gym inside, a couple of shops, coffee shop. So we don't have anything like that. It's just very plain. Here's a couple of fast chargers and a solar panel. Not very glamorous.
Yeah, sounds like here we're not quite there yet. Okay, so Brady again says, is this the EV with the highest number of kilometers on the clock? 700,000 kilometers on a Tesla Model S 75D. That is a lot of kilometers. I wonder if that's still the first battery. That's a lot of Ks. Can be done.
Yeah, there's a lot of Chinese EV taxis here in Shanghai which have done. So we use the MG5 wagon, and they have been on the road for about 2 to 3 years, and they've done about 350,000 to 400,000 kilometers. Same battery, you know, no real issues. And people think, oh, you know, MG or Chinese batteries, it's not going to last very long. But they've all proved so far that they've been very reliable. So batteries isn't really an issue anymore.
It's the charging.
Correct.
Speaking of, very disappointed to see the new EV chargers. Charger in Cairns vandalized before they were commissioned. That is why I bang on about ground up EVs, or at least stuff that's covered or protected, because this is an expensive asset that's just left out in the sun and potentially damaged and vandalized by people. It's a shame, really, because I mean, this could have been a very useful charging spot up in the tropical north there. Very sad. Is there much of a vandalism problem, Elliot, in China?
No. Lots of cameras, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, this one's potentially well lit.
EV to bring this back online, obviously much needed in those regional areas in Australia, in Queensland. Yeah, so hopefully EV can get these charges recommissioned back online very soon.
It's a shame. I think we touched on CATL earlier. So here we go. 400 kilometers on a 10-minute charge on the new Shenxing battery. World's first 4C super fast charging LFP battery. Thoughts, Elliot?
Yeah, so this year we're going to see the kind of start of super fast or ultra fast battery charging. So I know there's something called Li Mega. It's this ridiculous kind of Cybertruck looking, but a bit more beautiful. And that's got 800 volt architecture, and they can do, I don't know, 400 kilometers in 10 minutes. The Zeekr's coming out with very similar charging as well. And so it makes things like battery swapping quite redundant. And this, I think this really will be the tipping point for those people who say, well, I can fill up my gas car in 5 minutes. Well, you say, well, I can add 400 kilometers in 10 minutes as well. So there's that whole argument kind of goes out the window. You know, CATL are doing this. BYD are doing this. You know, they're all doing this ultra fast batteries. So I think this is probably more exciting than sodium batteries.
Yeah, look, 700 kilometers on a true range is pretty good. That's like one stop between Sydney and Melbourne. I think that's still like the key. You get to Sydney to Melbourne on one stop, I think people will start paying attention. For me anyway, I think that's the key here in Australia. Cool. Now, a bit of a joke here. Well, shouldn't say joke, but a bit of a tip of the hat to Scott Morrison, our former PM. Of course, when he said, Teslas or EVs couldn't tow. The Driven has written, Scott Morrison resigns 3 days after a photo is published of a Tesla towing a caravan outside his electoral office. Were these two events linked? On a serious note, thank you, Scott Morrison, for your service over the years. But hey, I guess that comment will probably stick with him for the rest of his life, especially from EV owners, I would think. We'll remember that comment forever. Here's an EV towing. It's possible.
Well, just for some context, Elliot, this is the same Prime Minister that stood in Parliament with a piece of coal, showing it to the opposition to say, don't be scared of this. So he was apparently very good at marketing, and marketing means making himself look bad. So anyway, we're past that era now.
He was the blocker which held all of this kind of deluge back, right? Once he was gone, it all started. So I reckon within a decade, he'll be driving his own Tesla.
Yep, I'm sure he'll be snapped somewhere in the Shire with one. We'll see. Give it 10 years. Now, we were talking about Rivian earlier as well. So Rivian has a spare tire, I think, in their sub trunk or sub boot. It's a pretty funny video.
Yeah, I think this is the R1T. Love Rivian to come. Seen one in person in the US. And I think it would definitely appeal to the tradie market here as well. So
I sat in one at Fully Charged Show in Farnborough, the first time I'd ever seen one in real life. It's a beautiful car. Like, I'm not a big truck fan, but it's seriously really well built. I was like, yeah, this is cool. And then I sat in a F-150 Lightning. I was like, oh, I get the truck thing now. I kind of want one. It'd be ridiculous in the UK, but yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I've seen one in the US. These Rivians, they're very good, built very well. Yeah, definitely would convert someone who was not a believer, for sure. And Charles is saying about Scott Morrison, the piece of coal was polished and varnished so he wouldn't get his hands dirty. Oh, found out. That's pretty funny. Now, the Kia EV9, just really quick, it's got self-parking assist. I think a lot of the Kia EVs do actually have that remote Smart Parking Assist, but this is number two apparently. I'm getting one of these for a loan this week, so I'm looking forward to testing that out. Nice seven seater. Cool.
They have that's. I mean, it's almost seen as a standard feature now here, which is great because it means we'll all get it soon. The next step on this is you get to the bottom of a multi-story car park, and you get out, and then it will park itself. So that's started in a couple of EVs now.
Nice.
And there's a few videos on TikTok of these people just getting out their cars and letting their car just drive off a multi-story car park. And then when they want it, it comes back down again. So, yeah, exciting.
I mean, in a controlled space, it makes sense, right? If that car park has been purpose-built for that, then, yeah, that'd be cool. Just the cars park itself and retrieve it later by itself.
Yeah, but you do worry, you know, if that car then went and hit someone or crashed into something, well, who's in trouble for that? You know, there's all these questions around self-driving that we still haven't really solved.
Yeah. Where's the liability, right? Who pays? Yep. Okay. I think we'll leave. I was going to talk about something else, but we'll leave that for next week. That's a whole can of worms. But I want to leave on this note here. We talked about Toyota earlier. And so Toyota sold 104,000 pure electric vehicles globally in 2023. Company sold 11.2 million vehicles overall worldwide. So that's a very small percentage of EVs on their bottom line.
Are you sure this isn't the can of worms? Because I love going in on Toyota because they're just completely blind to what's going on around them and continue banging on about hydrogen. And, you know, they're just not serious at all. And I don't understand it.
Hmm.
We've got a bit of a tongue-in-cheek with Toyota watch happening here on the show, where we feel like this is going to be the next company like Kodak that's not going to survive their transition to EVs. And you know what? So far, they've not given us a shred of evidence to show that we might be wrong. They just keep coming out with news like this, which just, you know, goes to show you they're well behind the eight ball in terms of the
Very sad.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're coming close to the end. I will give everyone one more chance to enter our hashtag everything electric show giveaway. We've got three double passes to give away tonight. So we've got 26 entries so far. So make sure you enter by putting that hashtag in your next message. Only one entry per user at this stage. But I'll put the screen up here because I'm going to do the draw very soon. So there we go. So please, we've got 26 entries, last chance, and then I'll do draws for three double passes to the Everything Electric show next weekend. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Okay, let's do this. We've got three double passes to give away for the show. Let's do it. All right. This is for the first double pass, 28. Oh, okay, I'll give it 5 more seconds. 5 seconds. Last minute entries. Let's do it. Hashtag everything electric. Got to be in it to win it. Better than Powerball. Okay, here we go. First double pass goes to... Hey. Hadouken25. All right. So you are the winner of our first double pass. If you're watching, make sure you drop me an email and I'll get those tickets out to you. That's good. Thank you very much for entering, everyone. And let's do one more draw. Let's go again. By the way, Rahul, Riz, Elliot, you guys are not allowed to win. Just saying right now. John Myers, congratulations. Well done. You are the winner for the second lot of double passes. Again, send me an email, tom@ludicrousfee.com. And last draw for the night. Let's do it. This is proof it's purely random. I have no control over this. Chris, EV Road Trips, hey, congratulations. There you go. All right, so they are our three double passes for tonight. So make sure you drop me an email later on and I will give you a coupon code for your double pass. So congratulations. Thanks for entering, everyone. Well done. And we'll do three more draws next week on the show, the last show before Everything Electric. Cool. All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of the show, gents. I want to first of all thank Elliot, of course, our special guest, and we're looking forward to very much catching up again with you next weekend on the show.
Fully charged. Likewise. Yeah, can't wait to see you guys there and see everyone else there and have a good chat and catch up on how things are going. So, yeah, really look forward to it. Thank you for having me on today. Great to speak to you all.
Pleasure, as always. And Rahul, thank you very much, as always. Thank you for joining us.
Most welcome, gents. Great to be back. Enjoy next weekend. Elliot, we look forward to seeing you in Australia. Safe travels. And, yeah, we might do a poll on which car Elliot will drive into the main hall of everything electric. Keep watching.
That's right. And, Riz, thank you very much, as always.
Awesome for sure, Tom. Elliot, always good to see everything that you do while you're not here on your social media, on X accounts and YouTube, but also to hear from the main man himself. And looking forward to seeing this show. It's going to be bigger and better. And I think anyone that attends won't be disappointed this time around. There's a lot more happening and just it's going to be quite nice. And yeah, anyone that's interested in seeing what Elliot drives in, I suspect it's going to be a ruling Mini, but you know we'll look forward to taking some footage of that and sharing it after the show. So make sure you check it out. And thanks for having me on again, Tom.
Yeah, no pleasure, Riz. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that too, Elliot. You're very quiet on what we asked you, Elliot. What are you going to drive in? So I think there'll be something special lined up.
Wait and see.
He's staying quiet. All right. Thank you, Elliot. Thank you, Rahul. Thank you, Riz. And thank you, everyone, for joining us on our first live stream for the year. It's been great to have you, and we shall see you all next week. Thanks, everyone. Have a good night. Bye.